Hey guys, guess what? Looks like we're going back to Raleigh for Game 5.
Coming to you from the heart of Canes country, this is the Caniac Report. Your number one source for everything Carolina Hurricanes. Hot takes, predictions, game analysis, and NHL news. And now your hosts, Sam Wallace and Sam Driscoll.
All right, we're back with another episode of the Caniac Report. Unfortunately, this is going to 5 games. Now, granted, I am not freaking out about this series overall. Hurricanes can still end the series 3 more times. Let's hope it doesn't go longer than Game 6 or 7. I think all of us probably, I'm part of that. Category, of course, of Hurricanes winning it in 5 games. I know there are some that probably predicted a sweep. Unfortunately, it's not going to be a sweep, as it's going to go to most likely probably Game 5, and hopefully it doesn't go to Game 6 or 7, regardless if Game 7 is at home or away. But first, before we review the game, we're going to go through some news here, and we're going to start with some podcast stuff. We have a great partnership with SeatGeek. You get $20 off of your first purchase at SeatGeek, and you know what? I would use that for Game 5 if you have not purchased a ticket through SeatGeek yet. That could help you a little bit drive down the cost of going to a Game 5. Hopefully, the Canes can win that game. Another thing too is we have a link for donations. If you feel like you want to donate and help our podcast, both Sam and I, there is a link in each episode description. So just press on that link and you will be able to donate. It's also on our website too. So if you listen to our episodes a lot on our website, there's a good place to donate as well. So that's all. Now we're going to get to some NHL news here. And there's only one piece of NHL news I'm going to really talk to. But save the date. May 7th is the NHL Draft Lottery. Now, I'm sure all of us Canes fans are so happy we are not a participant of the Draft Lottery. We are in the playoffs. And again, we should still win Round 1. So if you don't know what the draft lottery is, it's just the NHL revealing the top 2 positions in the draft lottery, as each team has a percentage that they could possibly win. And I'm specifically talking about the teams that did not make the playoffs. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see how triggering that is to certain fan bases. It's going to be fun. And I am planning on watching that game because, let's say, a Metro team wins it, we're going to have to face probably a top prospect quite a bit in the future. It's not going to affect us right now, of course, because we are in the playoffs. But down the line, we could face a top prospect depending on which team gets the top 2 positions. So that's how the draft lottery goes, if you have not seen or heard of it. But again, I think it's important because you just never know, a divisional team could grasp the 1 or 2nd place spots of the draft. So that's all for NHL news. Now we're going to get to some Hurricanes news. And this was reported by Elliot Friedman on the injury news of Brett Pesce. Apparently, he says that we are a little bit optimistic about Pesce returning, which is good because I still think Pesce is a top 4 defenseman. I think what gets us frustrated, one, his skating ability has kind of gone down year after year after year. And at times we know he can be a better defensive defenseman. We know he's a defensive defenseman. He's purely been that. There has been some games in his career where he has put up a couple of goals. I think of the Pittsburgh game here at home, I believe back in December, January-ish, I believe. So, but Brett Pesce, he's purely a stay-at-home defenseman. I do think we're going to need him back. I love D'Angelo. I thought D'Angelo played really good. I do not think he was terrible. these past two games, but Pesci, I do think overall, is the better player. So that's all for Hurricanes news. Again, these type of news are light now, especially with all these teams now making their decisions on coaching, as you've heard probably the last couple of episodes. But yeah, that's all for news. Now we're going to get to reviewing the loss against the Islanders in overtime. But before we do, let's get to our sponsor. The chase for the Stanley Cup is on, and if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of playoff beers all the way to the hoisting of the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boo Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, responsible gaming resources. Copyright NHL 24. All rights reserved. Okay, first things first about this game, and I should probably say about this episode. Yes, it is just me, Sam Driscoll. Could not record as he is occupied, and he was occupied during the last part of the game. So, first period, I thought was a pretty even period. I didn't think there was a lot of action in the first period. I believe each team only got like 7 shots. I'm checking real quick here. So, Carolina in the first period had 8 shots, Islanders had 7. So, a pretty low, eventful period, I thought. I really thought this game was purely even. First period, I thought was even. I thought second period, Carolina took over. And I thought the third period, Islanders kind of took over with their game because we just could not get any offense into the O-zone in the third period. And, of course, I thought Carolina dominated the first overtime. And, of course, Islanders scored in the second overtime with their one and only shot. So, of course, in the first period, you have Seth Jarvis scoring on the power play. Such a great goal, and it's a pass from Gensel. Initially, they had Brent Burns as an assist as well, but I don't know why they took it off, but I thought he deserved an assist, in my opinion. Seth Jarvis has been very great this whole playoff series against the Islanders, I've thought, and he continues to score goals. He's been a very, very good player for Carolina. And that was kind of it for the goals in the first period, of course. And in the second period, you have Matthew Barzal scoring. I thought this was a play where Barzal just showed how good he was. I don't think it was showing how bad Brady Shea was, because he was the guy that was defending Matthew Barzal. And Barzal was able to use his quickness, his speed to get around Brady Shea, and he was able to put up a rocket of a shot off the crossbar and in. So I don't really blame Anderson or Shea, because I just thought that showed how good Barzal can be, and he proved that in this game. He was the one that actually got the tip in the second overtime. So end of the second, it's tied 1-1, and then there is the scare a little bit for us Canes fans, I think. You have Jean-Gabriel Pageau scoring on the power play from Noah Dobson and Andreas Lee. I thought Lee played a very good game for the Islanders, but that steamed a little bit because it was on the penalty kill for the Hurricanes, and Pageau was able to kind of get a goal off of a rebound, because it was Dobson that shot the puck off of Anderson's pad. probably something maybe Anderson wants to kind of control a little bit with his rebound. I could see that being something he could definitely control a little bit more a bit, but Islanders are up 2-1, and I think us Canes fans are like, well, we can possibly do this because we've done it in the second game where we were down and we came back and we did tie it. It's Stefan Nason scoring on the power play from Teravainen and Natchez. What a great, I thought, play all around. I mean, Natchez gets a great pass to Teravainen. I thought Natchez honestly had a very good game, even though he did get an assist, but I think Natchez could have had chances where he could have scored. KK, man, I thought, he could have scored a goal too. He had a wide open net, but just couldn't score. Man, that guy's just snake bitten. Because I do think KK's playing pretty good. He's just snake bitten right now. There have been a couple of shots. Obviously, one this game, I think the other one probably, I think, in the first away game where he could have scored. So KK has been snake bit, unfortunately. But I still think KK has been pretty good. I think all of our lines have probably been a little bit good. The only thing I probably say is I think we need to see Guentzel get going a little bit. I don't think he's been playing bad, but I think Guentzel can definitely play a little bit better. We've seen him play a little bit better heading into the playoffs because that line heading into the playoffs with Guentzel, Aho, and Jarvis was just dynamite. Now it's Fetch, Aho, and Guentzel. But to me, the players really showing up on that line, I think, has been Aho and Jarvis. Sorry, no, Aho and Svetch. Because Jarvis is now playing with Stahl and Marnook. Now, this game, though, I'm sure you Canes fans have noticed, Jarvis, Stahl, and Marnook did play on a line together, but Brendan Moore decided to switch things up. I believe he put Marnook on the second line with KK, and Teravainen was put with Stahl and Jarvis. I thought Teravainen has played a really good game, and I think he's been playing good this entire series. And I think he proved it with that great pass to Nason to tie the game. So, fortunately, it's actually tied, which is great because we need all the belief we can get, and it goes into overtime. First overtime, I actually thought the Hurricanes were really good. Now, a big thing this game, and it really did show on the ice, and I thought it showed an advantage for the Islanders, is the faceoffs. Carolina was really struggling, especially during the first and second period, with winning these faceoffs. Like, they just couldn't do it. I thought they got a little bit better in the third, but man, the face-offs, I mean, Islanders just dominated the face-off circle. So I think that is going to be a key thing heading into Game 5 is Carolina needs to win these face-offs. And knowing that they are coached by a guy who is known for winning many face-offs in Brendan Moore, I think they can. And honestly, Carolina, I still think they are going to win the series. I am not going to be like certain fans and freak out and be like, oh, Islanders are going to win the series. Now, I do believe that there is going to be a concern with this team if they cannot finish this game at home Tuesday. You finish this game at home Tuesday, then you've won the series. But Carolina, I think if they don't win it Tuesday, there is going to be cause for concern because you're kind of letting the series get a little bit longer than it needs to be. Now, you could also say, well, we need some playing time heading into the second round, which we know the Rangers are going to win. And as I'm recording this, Rangers are up 3-0 in a series against Washington. And I can sort of see that. But overall, I really do think Carolina probably does need maybe some rest heading into the Rangers series. Again, it could be a benefit of them playing an extra game, but I think Carolina needs to win in game five. Goes longer than that, then Islanders are going to gain a lot of confidence, and we do not need them to. We need to win the series. We are clearly a better team than the Islanders on paper. The only thing the Islanders have is a good defensive structure and a really good goalie, but you could say the same thing for Anderson. Like, Anderson, I think, has been playing very good. The only game I probably wasn't a big fan of him in was Game 3. Because, or no, no, probably, no, Game 2. My bad. It was Game 2. I didn't think Anderson played that good of a game. But other than that, Anderson has been playing, I think, pretty much very good. I thought his best game was the first game, in my opinion. And I was a little bit shocked that Anderson started game four, in my opinion. I was, because you're up 3-0 in a series. You know you're probably going to need to get Kochetkov going in a game, probably. And if it was my judgment call, you probably would have seen Kochetkov in net for this game. But, I mean, I don't think there's a wrong answer here. I really don't. I think you can put Anderson as much as you can put Kochetkov in. Really, no wrong answer. So, we know Anderson is going to play Game 5. I think this was the only game we kind of maybe thought in the back of our heads Kochetkov was going to play. But, now that we've lost this game, Anderson is maining the net for the rest of the series. So, back to the game. In the first overtime, yes, I really did think the Hurricanes dominated the first overtime. They just could not get a goal. And in the second overtime, it's a blast from Bortuzzo. And it looks like they're, I mean, I think Tripp said, oh, they're staying on the ice. There might have been goalie interference. It wasn't. There was no goalie interference at all from Barzal. And, I mean, Islanders are trying to make it a series, and they forced Game 5. And, I mean, good for them, but I think Carolina, they can finish it at home. And that's pretty much it. Two overtimes, and Islanders win 3-2. We're all kind of hoping, I thought, of Carolina winning this game, especially when it got to overtime, but we could not do it. Yeah, I thought what was funny, too, because I was watching the Bali broadcast during this game. They mentioned so much of Paul Stastny. I was like, oh, please don't jinx this. And I don't think broadcast teams jinx stuff because, I mean, that's their job is to analyze these games. So they're not jinxing it, but they, I mean, Tripp was cracking me up with bringing up Paul Stastny a ton. And he definitely did. But yeah, Hurricanes lose 3-2. Hopefully we can win it in game 5. On Saturday. This is probably going to be a bit of a shorter episode because it was a pretty close game with not a lot of goals. I mean, 5. But overall, I mean, Carolina probably in the first, I would say keys to the game. Let's go with this. Keys to the game for Tuesday's game. 1, face-offs. Gotta win them, and you gotta be better in the face-off circle. Another key, I think, to winning the game is going to be special teams. And Carolina has been good on special teams. They scored 2 power play goals. So I think that's gonna be important, even though they lost. And I also think they probably need to be a little bit better 5-on-5, too. We need to get more offense and get probably a little bit, maybe a little bit more quality chances, maybe. Although I thought we've had plenty of quality chances. We just couldn't score. So, overall, Carolina, I think, hasn't really gotten to their game yet. They've had moments, But they need to play their top game throughout the entire game Tuesday. And overall, I think that's my third point takeaway to see if they can win Tuesday. Can they play their complete game in 60 minutes? We've seen pieces of that. We saw that during the last half of game two. We saw their game, I thought, in the second. Well, maybe not really so in the second period, because I still thought they were not really getting the quality chances they were getting in game two. But overall, Carolina really needs to play their game for a full 60 minutes. That's the big thing. You might be able to get away with it in the Islanders series. You might be. But once it gets to the second round and beyond, you got to play your game for a full 60 minutes. Islanders, I've always believed in this series, if you can score 3 goals against the Islanders, you can win the game. Because Islanders do not have a lot of offense. If you can score 3, and I told Sam Driscoll this during part of the game that he was here for today, if the Hurricanes can get 3 goals, then they can win the game. They can shut it down. Islanders are probably going to be coming in with a little bit of confidence and probably going to come out hot. But Carolina needs to play a full 60 minutes of what we saw during the last half of game two. And if they can play like that, they can win. And again, I think it only takes 3 goals for the Hurricanes to win, because Islanders just don't have that star-studded offense that, I mean, I could say we have, but I mean, I think Gensel is better than anybody on the Islanders team, even though I think we could see a little bit more performance. I think there's another level with Gensel we haven't seen. And Aho, even though I thought he's been playing good, another level we could probably see a little bit. I think Svech is playing good. I think Teravainen is playing amazing. I think Burns had another great game. I think Burns has finally realized that, oh, Pesci's out. Now I need to step up, and I think he has stepped up. He was instrumental in Jarvis's first goal. So, a few observations I've seen and a few keys to the game for Tuesday's game that I think Hurricanes need to have to win. And I think they can do it. I really, really do. Hopefully, you guys think the same. I think you guys too think it, because if you're listening to this, you're probably a Canes fan. So, yeah, that is all for this episode. And we will see you guys after Game 5.
Thanks for listening to the Kaniac Report. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. Can't get enough of the Kaniac Report? For more content or to connect with the Sams, check them out on Instagram and Twitter at the Kaniac Report. We'll see you next time.